ಕಾರಣೆ, ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಕಾರಣೆ.
ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು
ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರವ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಸೋ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್, ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸಪೋಸ್ ಟು ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆನ್ ಎಲಿಜಿಬಿಲಿಟಿ ಫಾರ್ ಡಿವೋಷನ್. What is the eligibility for, or did we start it already? Yeah, so we are going to start this. What is the effect of the modes? How do the modes affect one's eligibility for devotion, and what is this eligibility for devotion? This is a very important thing that we need to address. Based on our understanding, okay, let's read, and then later when a relevant session comes, we will discuss the whole thing based on our discussions on Yajan Jaiva Dharma and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, what we understood, and now Maharaj, we will see what he says. So this section is, this chapter is titled The Seed of Devotion. So we understood what is the seed of devotion, how does one receive. So now we are going to discuss the eligibility for devotion. What is the eligibility and how do the modes affect that eligibility for devotion? So Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj writes, in understanding the semblance of faith, it is important to recognize how the all-pervading modes of material nature influence the creeper of devotion. Modes, how do they influence? The original constitutional faith of the living entity is pure and transcendental. That is why we say Jivera Swarupali Krishna Ranatridas. So originally it is pure. Reposed only in Krishna. But in contact with material nature, the faith becomes distorted and influenced by many other things. So the three modes can influence one's faith, or the three modes can influence one's conditions. So the three modes have an effect on both. And when they affect these two, they create different effects, which can be practically experienced from our own experience, we can see the effect of modes. In Bhagavad Gita, in detail, Krishna describes what happens when a person, based on what kind of foodstuffs he gets attracted to, one can see what mode is active. So like that, he describes in detail. So we will see this. In the conditioned state, the faith is a semblance of the real thing. In the conditioned state, somewhat like a mirage in a desert. It is an effect of the modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, just as a mirage in the desert is the effect of the sky, heat waves and sand. So just like a mirage is a combination of sand, you won't see a mirage anywhere. Sand has to be there, heat waves has to be there. In monsoon season, you will not see a mirage anywhere. If you are seeing something, it's most likely the real water on you. And the sky, you won't see mirage inside a room. The open sky has to be there. So when these three combine together, a mirage is created. And similarly, in the semblance of faith, that is manifest due to conditioned nature, is a combination of these three modes, how they combine to create a particular nature of faith. Mixed with the permutations and combinations of the three modes, the semblances of faith are innumerable. Just like Prabhupada says, 3, then 3 into 3, 9, then 9 into 9, 81, like that Prabhupada says, unlimited permutations and combinations. Therefore, there could be unlimited shades of the seed. Even though it can be genetically modified. It can be genetically modified in innumerable number of ways and to innumerable degrees. To what extent it is, it can be modified, you will never know. Like, we have cases where the seed sometimes gets modified beyond recognition. Like, sometimes you see people, you see from shades of people accepting only the parampara teachings or only what Maharaj says, to then accepting both Maharaj and someone else, to accepting someone else and having an element of doubt towards what the parampara is presenting, to actually talking against the parampara teachings, to outright blaspheming the understanding of the parampara. You know, you have all different shades of contamination of the seed, all that is born out of the influence of the modes. Influence of the modes means influence of people contaminated with modes, basically. You have all these various shades of influence of the modes.
Lokini faith, one is the Shastramash faith, one is the Lohamash faith, Lohamash Vada.
Which Vada?
Lohamay, Naishati. Beyond
natural.
Beyond actually Shastik. Lohamash Vada.
Naishati.
So this semblance comes on between the Lokini or Shastramay or is actually only Shastra, only Lohamash.
Yeah, because if when it comes, so he has introduced a terminology which we have not yet discussed that elaborately. So faith in the conditioned state is of two types, which is Shastriya Shraddha and Laukiki Shraddha. Shastriya Shraddha is that which is based on the scriptures, and Laukiki Shraddha is that which is based on not scriptures, based on our just experiences. Now he is talking about the third Shraddha, which is Naisargik, natural. When the whole conditioning is out, when we have developed spiritual emotions, Lobhamai Shraddha, that is not dependent on the Shastras also, like the stage of Bhava or Prema, where there is tremendous faith, but that faith is not necessarily inspired by scriptures. So that is not born out of scripture, that is born out of a natural experience. Like a mother's faith and affection for the child is not born out of any Shastric, just for an example I am telling. It is born out of a very natural swabhaviki attraction. So similarly at the stage of Bhava and Prema, generally we don't talk about these contaminations because it does not get contaminated. Because the experience is very strong. The nature of Bhakti Rasa does not have the nature of Bhoga Tyaga and Chapala Sukha. Like you enjoy it for some time, it becomes boring, then you want to give it up and go somewhere else. And after some time you still develop some hankering, come to enjoy it, then you get bored, give it up. That is bhogatyaga. And chapala sukha, insignificant. So for someone who is actually experiencing bhakti rasa, so that bhakti rasa is so tangible experience, such a fulfilling experience, that the desire for renouncing that taste does not come. So such a person is completely immune against any other kind of intrusion, because he is firmly avyartha kalatvam. He does not want to waste even a moment in even thinking about something that is not related to Krishna. So generally in such cases, it is very rare that we talk about mixed faith. But there are cases where the seed was from beginning only mixed and then it attains perfection. Like for example, if someone has Jnana Mishra Bhakti from the beginning only, and that Jnana Mishra Bhakti was only watered from the beginning and it blossoms into full-fledged and it's giving flowers and fruits. That it's already contaminated and it is already getting nourished in that particular way. And he is also experiencing Brahmananda or whatever, Brahma Sukha. That can happen. But for someone who has nurtured the pure devotional faith till the stage of Bhava and Prema, generally contamination does not happen. But for one who is still on the level of Shastriya Shraddha, where the Shastras are the main impetus for such a person, so for them there is prone to get affected by the modes. But still, if you see in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even for the most exalted of devotees, he wants them. Like Mukunda, in Chaitanya Bhagavad, this episode comes. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu severely chastises Mukunda for, he says, I will not give him any darshan. For thousands of lifetimes I will not give. Because he comes and hears here and then some Mayavadi speaks, he goes and hears from there also. Like that. So therefore, these are examples, just to set the right example, that even such exalted devotees can, using them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sets the example. But generally, and in that stage, one does not have time and eagerness to hear about Namagane Sadaruchi. He wants to always keep chanting the holy name, Avyartha Kalatvam, Mana Shunyata. So with these kind of qualities, there is no scope for the influence of modes to actually creep in. Here we are talking about those who are still within the realm of the Shastras giving an impetus for their activities of devotion. So for them, they are prone to get contaminated actually.
So the 14 days of Sampradaya, that is considered as semblance of this type category?
Yeah, it could be, semblance of faith to outright, absolutely there is no semblance also. It is completely corrupt seed also.
So what is the root cause of that?
Cause of?
Upper Sampradaya. Someone was in the Sampradaya.
Who?
Then deviates. So, material modes influence, one is later you acquire, but already there are some impressions. Is it that is influencing?
Yeah, and there could be certain things, certain inclinations, but then when we start hearing from them, accessing their literatures, and start hearing from personalities very submissively, then it starts actually affecting our faith only. So then it becomes a problem. So basically it all is born out of submissive hearing. So submissive hearing and submissive reading. So what is the material that we are accessing? So that faith that we develop. So, because the root of faith is in that only, whether it is devotional or non-devotional. So, that's...
So, already, see, some things are acquired. So, already there are some type of modes. You already have some impressions. Suppose if it is in the mode of passion or ignorance. That is already there. So, we have no control over it now, anytime it may come up.
Correct.
And in that state you may your thoughts, your behavior, maybe
personally
something which...
That's why, Guruji, we discussed that there are two things, certain things which are on the level of our conditioning. But as long as it is on the level of conditioning, we may succumb to those conditionings. But eventually, if our faith is right, it will create regret. But certain things may be on the level of conditioning. But when it gets into our faith realm, then we won't be regretful of it. Rather, at some stage, we may even start preaching about it, talking to others about it, trying to convince others about it. So, at that level, it has reached the realm of faith. Like, for example, if someone has a particular conditioning, so he'll be ashamed to reveal it. Because he will see it as an anartha. But when that has encroached upon the faith zone, then he is no longer feeling that it is something to be embarrassed about. So then he says, oh, why are you not doing it? You should be doing it. This is the right thing. How come you are not doing it? So one comes to that level. So that's when you understand that the impurity has gotten into the faith zone. And this generally comes, like, for example, Shyamananda Prabhu was sharing that some people had a certain RSS influence, and they were like before coming to ISKCON. So, but once after coming to ISKCON and hearing from Prabhupada and hearing from the representatives of Prabhupada, they realized that what is pure and what is contaminated. But still, that desire for that nationalistic thoughts, that when in India is fighting a war against Pakistan or something, that those desires come, we really want to know, and we hanker that India should win or defeat and things like that. But we may in the heart of the heart still feel that this is an anartha. But over a period of time, influenced by this anartha, when we start, let's say, hearing speeches of nationalistic leaders and things like that. So, matlab, very innocently at first, but then over a period of time, it becomes more and more. And then, so, when we give this submissive gear, over a period of time, what happens? It no longer remains just on the level of conditioning, but it breaches into the arena of faith. So then we start questioning people, how come you are not conscious about your motherland? This is the right thing. How can you practice bhakti without being conscious of your motherland? Or certain whatever different kinds of shades of philosophies may come in. Because internally on the level of faith, one is convinced that this is the right thing to do. So till the moment the person is hiding and is embarrassed about what he is doing, that impurity is on the level of conditioning. The moment he is vocal about it, at that moment you understand that it has entered into the realm of faith. He no longer feels it strong. One whose faith is affected feels that you are contaminated and he is pure. But the person whose conditioning is contaminated, he actually feels, yes, I am contaminated. This anartha is troubling me too much. I can't like that. So that's the, so basically it comes from association. Ultimately it is association only that contaminates the.
Yogi has to be introspectiveness.
Yeah.
This is what.
Yeah. Introspective, and also I mean mere introspection is not sufficient, because once you allow your seed to get contaminated and then if we introspect, our introspection will be guided by our new seed. So while it is pure in the association of devotees, being guided by the association of devotees, we should introspect before it gets contaminated, because once it gets contaminated, our introspection will be guided by the contaminated seed only. Then it becomes a problem.
In that state, in the conscious state, there is a semblance of real thing. I was thinking that past time of Mahaprabhu when met Vallabhacharya in Prague. So when Mahaprabhu saw, he came in a state of bhava or something, and then he, by seeing actually Vallabhacharya, he reduced himself, seeing Vijati or something that comes out. So he also devotee and Vallabhacharya in that time, but he just reduced, he managed to understand. So that time also this type of faith missing can take a role for the non-devotee or devotee.
See, Vijatiya could mean many things. Vijatiya could also mean that someone who cannot appreciate the same mood is also a Vijati. Like certain other sampradayas, even though they are Vaishnava sampradayas, but they may not appreciate Radha Krishna worship. For example, if you see like Sri Vaishnava literatures, they don't glorify gopis so much, very rarely. And Madhvacharya in his commentary more or less calls them, they were just some village girls. He compared them just to heavenly damsels. Something like Apsaras, that's all. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives them that Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita. All are Vaishnavas. But then when it comes to mood, when it comes to Vishnu worship, we all are Sajatiya. When we go more and more specific, you know, certain people become Vijatiyas. So, Vijatiyas need not necessarily mean, oh, he is a devotee and he is a non-devotee. That is one primary level. But even within, after getting into the realm of devotional service also, there is, the understanding of the Sajatiya and Vijatiya that becomes more and more refined. The more one progresses further, he even avoids, like Raghunath Das Goswami would not, one day when he was, every day he would take some chas once in 3 days in a drone. And one day devotees thought, he will not take more than one drone. So let us at least try to serve him in a bigger drone. So they brought a bigger drone and served one bigger drone full of chas to Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami says, oh, how come this drone is big? And they said, oh, this is from a different village. We purchased a different village. Yes, which village? And that village was the village of Chandravali. They said, I can't take it. This Vijatiya drone. Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavadu Vargen. So she also falls under the category of Vrajavadu only. But when at some stage it becomes more and more specific, even a drone from Chandravali's village I will not take. So the more one progresses, the definition of Vijatiya becomes more and more, not that he hates whoever is Vijatiya, but then his loyalty and affection for whom he identifies as Sajatiya becomes more and more strong, like chastity. Right. So he says, mixed with the permutations and combinations of the three modes, the semblances of faith are innumerable. Devotees desiring to fully understand the subject should know how the modes influence faith. So now he is talking about modes influencing faith. Huh? Lord Krishna elaborates on this topic to both Arjuna and to Uddhava. Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava in Uddhava Gita. To Uddhava, Krishna says, Sattviki adhyatmiki shraddha karma shraddha tu rajasi tamasi adharme ya shraddha matsevayam tu nirguna. He says, Sattviki adhyatmiki shraddha. Adhyatmiki shraddha means, if someone is interested in spirituality, that faith is not transcendental faith. That faith is Sattviki faith. Faith in the mode of goodness. Karma shraddha tu rajasi. If someone is interest, faith is rooted in fruitive work, that shraddha is rajasic shraddha. Tamasi adharmeya shraddha. One whose faith is in irreligious activities, that is tamasic shraddha. And then he says that mat sevayam tu nirguna. Faith in my devotional service is only beyond three modes. Faith in my pure devotional service is only beyond the three modes. Rest is all within the three modes only. So therefore, those who have received that faith, where we cannot push them into the realm of contaminated faith. Okay, you see here, Adhyatmiki Shraddha is Sattvik, which means a genuine desire to follow our Vedic tradition need not necessarily be transcendental faith. It may be conducive for one who is practicing transcendental faith, but that in itself is not transcendental faith. So we have to understand what is favorable and what is non-negotiable. Absolutely mandatory. So certain things may be favorable, but when you push those favorable things to the mandatory zone, then it can change the faith actually. Like for example, following certain Vedic rituals, certain samskaras, these are favorable for devotional service. But the acharyas never mentioned them to be mandatory. They may be favorable. They need not be favorable also, certain other things. But even if they are favorable, but one should understand. That is why three times in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami elaborately describes how Varnashram is not a limb of bhakti. Even though practicing Varnashram may be favorable to bhakti, but one should not take that to be a mandatory, non-negotiable aspect of devotional service. Otherwise, why would Rupa Goswami again and again keep repeating the same thing? Actually, he is repeating. Three times he repeats. So when you make Varnashram as being mandatory to devotional service, then it becomes Karma Mishra Bhakti. And Karma Mishra Bhakti is actually Sattviki faith. It is not Nirguna faith. But if someone is practicing Varnashram in a detached way, but having faith in Bhakti only, so even though he may be practicing Varnashram, his faith is transcendental, beyond three modes. But if someone makes Varnashram as mandatory, then it actually becomes Karma Mishra Bhakti. If one really starts feeling, I can't practice Bhakti without giving up, I can't practice Bhakti without practicing Varnashram. If one feels like this, then actually his faith is moving from the zone of transcendental faith to Sattviki faith. So therefore, we have to understand what is favorable and what is mandatory. The 64 limbs are mandatory. extraneously cultivating jnana, vairagya or varanashram, these are all, some of them may be favorable. Jnana and vairagya extraneous cultivation, Rupa Goswami clearly mentions they are unfavorable. Because he says that if you extraneously cultivate, it makes the heart hard, both jnana and vairagya. So he says it's not favorable. Let that jnana and vairagya be born out of bhakti, he says. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janayatyashu vairagyam jnanam chayadahaitukam. And he says, talking about vairagya that is favorable for bhakti, he says it must be yukta vairagya. So what is yukta vairagya? Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. Anything you want to utilize, see whether it is, you can utilize it only in relationship with Krishna's service. That is vairagya actually. You don't just keep rejecting it, but instead of no, this will trap me, this will trap me. That is very difficult to do. That is why it is called vairagya. But he reforms that whole thing. He says, why don't you ask this question? Does it have utility in Krishna's service? Does it have utility in Krishna's service? Can I utilize it in Krishna's service without getting attached to it? Can I utilize this in Krishna's service without getting attached to it? This also is vairagya only. Because this is not easy to do. Because all the while we have been thinking about, you know, utility for myself in sense gratification. That is the question that we have. Isse mera kya utility hai? If I see any utility for myself, my own improvement, then I will do it. If I don't see any utility for myself, then I will not do it. From that level, Krishna says, you know, see if it has any utility for Krishna's service. That is vairagya actually. He says this vairagya is useful. Otherwise, one should not just keep cultivating the other kinds of vairagya with the jnanis and ashtanga yogis may cultivate. He says that kind of vairagya makes the heart hard. And by bhakti, one is supposed to make the heart soft. So he says that one should not cultivate that kind of vairagya. Yeah. Varanashram also, he says, they are not limbs of bhakti. He does not say that they are unfavorable. But he says it's not a limb of bhakti. Don't mix it. One may practice certain varanashram duties. But he says varanashram duties should always be practiced with detachment. With detachment means not having faith that my... and bhakti activities should be performed with attachment. Which means... one should realize, one should have firm faith that my spiritual advancement is coming from practicing the 9 limbs and 64 limbs mentioned in. Even though I may practice certain varnashram limbs to set the right example for others, but I don't feel that these activities are the means for my progress in devotional service. That should be very clear. That is why in the beginning of defining faith only, he clearly says, Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krutaha. That is shraddha. And even komala shraddha is that. Just by practicing the limbs of devotional service, everything is accomplished. That faith one should have. And with endowed with that faith, one may still continue to perform certain varnashram duties. That is fine. But to make varnashram mandatory and non-negotiable is not the right understanding.
Can you give an example? Varnashram or principles
like that
becomes mandatory. You compromise with the devotional.
Like for example, you gave one example. You asked the other day that, how can someone not celebrate Diwali? So if Diwali comes during the yatra, then devotees should first celebrate Diwali with their family, and then whatever remaining days may be there, one may choose to go to the yatra. So this is one understanding that's floating around. So that you mentioned the other day. Now, I mean, yes, certain festivals we do celebrate with our family. Celebrating festivals with families, it may be a limb of Varanashram. But to make that limb, to make the limb of bhakti, one of the most important limbs of bhakti, Mathura Vas, five potent limbs, and hearing and chanting, you know, all the five potent limbs and devotees association, all five potent limbs are there in the dham, in the association of one's guru. To make that subservient to a secondary limb by actually making it mandatory, because this is Vedic culture. This may be Vedic culture, but this is not exactly Vaishnava culture. Vaishnava culture means to know what limbs take prominence and what limbs take a secondary stature. So, if this limb was primary, our Guru Parampara would have spoken about it. Maharaj would have questioned, how come you are here? You should be there celebrating Diwali with your family. So Maharaj never questions. I mean, I don't know if Maharaj, definitely we don't get to hear. So, yeah, it's more the most, so therefore, if you take that example, yes, it is true. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his essay on Niyamagraha, he mentions that one kind of Niyamagraha is even after a person moves on to the higher level of faith, he is still not willing to give up the activities of the previous level of faith. Like for example, if one moves from the level of karma to bhakti, even after moving to bhakti, after receiving bhakti shraddha, then the whole duties change. But if he is still attached to performing the lower duties, like for example, if one let's say in the if one was in the software industry, if one was one's position was he was a programmer coding. Now he has been elevated to the level of project manager. So he can't say that, oh, I will still do coding only, and you still have to pay me the salary of a project manager. See? I mean, you are a project manager, you are expected to do the duties of a project manager. Coding is not a non-bona fide duty, but it is not your duty. And under certain conditions, a project manager may also do coding duties. But to make that as a mandatory duty is not the right understanding. So a devotee may also follow. I mean, I also feel like, Diwali used to be our most awaited time of the year when the whole family comes together and celebrates. And I also many times have, fond remembrances of my childhood when, it used to be the most eagerly awaited time of the year. But having said that, you understand that given an opportunity, if it does not overlap with the yatra, then I every time plan, at least it has been so many decades since I celebrated Diwali with my family. So now it is not possible because my mother is also there in the yatra. So, but definitely, one of the year in the coming years, if it does not overlap with the yatra, I may still, one time I would like to go and celebrate Diwali with my family. I have that desire also. But then to make it mandatory, and as superseding a higher principle, that actually is not right.
So, Prabhupada did was
So many things which was never done before. But that's what, like, that is the prerogative of an acharya. Even in the Gaudiya line, before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there were no sannyas initiation. Sannyas was started by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the Gaudiya line. Till then, there were only two ashramas. The Grihastha ashram and the Grihathyagi ashram. There is nothing. There were not four. There were only two. If you have reached the stage of Bhava, you become Babaji. Till then, everyone is under one category only, Grihastha. Whether you are married or unmarried. So, he introduced it for a particular purpose. Similarly, that's the prerogative of an acharya. He can bring in certain changes without diluting the essential teaching. So, that we have to see. And that has to be, if a still higher authority is still there, so that approval needs to be there. Prabhupada disciples are still alive, those who have been personally trained by Prabhupada. So if they give the approval, then we are willing to follow. Every year we will celebrate Diwali without time. So that's perfectly fine, but then the acharyas in the parampara, they have to give their approval. So,
I'm sorry, actually, this is still going on. So, what I experienced yesterday, so I cannot be judgmental. I mean, Madhvas are maybe Varnashrama, regularly. What is it like? Ours is transient, we say, chanting the holy name. So, I mean, there's Vinod sort of going for funeral.
They must have some reason, because it may, you know, because it is funeral, it's a time when it's a state of intense lamentation. So a renunciate mind might get a little bit shaken from the desire to continue his renunciation. Maybe, I'm not very sure that they must have some reason for it. So that's why it may not be necessarily recommended. But the point is, our Brahmacharya ashram is, or even Sannyas ashram in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya has more been a tool for preaching, rather than the traditional sannyas ashram, which one takes up only after the heart has been completely purified of all material desires. So to apply those same principles, so which principle to apply, which principle takes precedence, it needs some proper guidance. That's why probably every sampradaya, even though they are bona fide, their emphasis slightly varies. Both the Madhva and Sri Vaishnava Sampradayas, they almost make Varnashram non-negotiable, absolutely mandatory. That's where our Gaudiya line varies very significantly, actually. That is one place where it varies very significantly. But if we align with them, then our mood actually is very much diluted. You know, we lose our uniqueness. And we lose our particular goal. So I have heard, you know, they make actually Varnashram actually mandatory, non-negotiable at all. But in the highest understanding, that is not actually complete understanding as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have a choice whom we want to follow. What Prabhupada has given or what. So we need not, because Dr. Alva himself being a Madhva follower, we don't have to necessarily
violate
that, because it is we respect, because it is something is happening in his house, we don't violate that and get crash into that. We perfectly respect it, but at the same time we don't have to change ourselves. Like henceforth for anything we will not do it, not like that. I mean, Acharyas, Gopal Bhatta Goswami has written books like Satkriya Saradipika and these kind of books where you go refer and what are the things, for everything is given, like for funeral, who can go, who cannot go, he has also addressed. Maybe in our understanding also certain people may not, are not supposed to go. It may be right also. It may be right also for certain people, you are not going, it may be right also. But certain things where we know, our acharyas have emphasized, because these are grey areas, because even though we don't have a very clear scriptural quote for this, so we cannot really argue on this. But certain things, we have very clear scriptural quotes, they are not grey areas, they are clear black and white areas. And where our sampradaya is emphasizing something, some other sampradaya is emphasizing something else, we respect it, but we follow ours. That's...
So this one is what exactly
about
50% is now, 50% is left and understands Varnashram. So now, when you have the Varnashram, now, later part of this.
So, in my understanding, I want to reintroduce Varnashram means, and like what Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he was sharing with me. Radha Gopinath Prabhu recently gave a class in Pune, series of seminars, and he was sharing that, you know, there could be people at different levels. Someone may, what is it? I like?
My mission is Hare Krishna.
Highest is my mission is Hare Krishna. Like he is a missionary. He is the topmost. And then?
I am Hare Krishna.
I am a Hare Krishna.
So
I am a Hare Krishna is second level, where I am identifying, my identity is Hare Krishna, but I may not be a missionary. Then the third level is,
first my mission is Hare Krishna, my life is Hare Krishna.
My life is Hare Krishna.
I am Hare Krishna.
Then I am Hare Krishna is third level.
I am in Hare Krishna.
Then I am in Hare Krishna is still little, you know, I am in Hare Krishna.
I go Hare Krishna.
Huh?
I go Hare Krishna.
I go to Hare Krishna.
I like Hare Krishna.
Then I like Hare Krishna. These are like different levels.
I know Hare Krishna. I want Hare Krishna.
These are different levels of faith.
These are different levels of intensity of faith. So accommodating all of that by keeping Krishna as the center. So this, because wherever Varnashram is mentioned in Bhagavatam, it talks about Vishnu worship only. Like Atapumbir Dvijashreshta Varnashrama Vibhagashah Svanushtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshana. Or Atapumbir, that's what I quoted now. Next guy. Varnashrama Acharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Nanya Tattoshakarana. What else?
Sve
sve karmanya bhirataha samsiddhim labate naraha swakarmanam tamabhyarcha siddhim mindati manava. That he says. Of course that has a or chaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajan apakvo atapate tato yadi. So these are verses wherever Varnashram is mentioned. You see that there is an emphasis on Vishnu worship. So, in my understanding, we may say that only one who is Anya Bilashita Shunyam, only that practitioner is a ISKCON devotee. But not necessarily. we can be little more accommodative by accepting that whatever desire a person may have, let us lead him to worship Vishnu. So, that sense of accommodation. And whenever Prabhupada also talks about Varnashram, he talks about brahmanas guiding the society. And Prabhupada says devotees should become those brahmanas guiding the society. That much he says. But beyond that, now the question is, if Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram as an act, now the question is, are Prabhupada's books complete or not? Are his books also incomplete? Because if you accept that his books are complete, then whatever he wants to give about Varnashram, he has given in his book section. So, these various different things that we hear, those things, if you say that Prabhupada says 50% of my job is done, 50% of my job is still incomplete, that is establishing Varnashram. So then, the question is, has he left that 50% incomplete in his books also? So that we need to understand. So if he has left it incomplete in his books also, then on what basis are we going to establish it? Because books are the basis. And Prabhupada has told for the next 10,000 years, my books are the law books. So on what basis are we going to establish it? So in my understanding, and I asked the same question to His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj also, when he had come here. So he asked me a repeat question, a back question he asked me. So he said, what he told is, in my understanding, Varnashram means bhakti. And then he said, to whom you want to introduce this Varnashram? He said, to devotees. And then he looked at me and he said, to devotees. He says, that does not make sense. And then to outsiders. Then he said, how are you going to do it? So therefore, 50% is incomplete in the sense, like when it comes to the topmost rung, Prabhupada has very clearly established. What is it to practice bhakti on the level of Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavratam Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam? But that top level he has established. In my understanding, establishing Varnashram means establishing the other levels also. That someone may not be at the level of pure devotional faith. So how do you accommodate him also to be within the realm of ISKCON?
Isn't it following four regulative principles and chanting? Doesn't it elevate a person to the level of a Brahman?
More than that.
So that sense Prabhupada has
given
already. So part of that.
But just that someone may not have developed faith at that level. Because it takes many, many lifetimes of accumulation of Sukriti to reach that level. So if one may not have that requisite Sukriti to reach that level, then he may not have faith, because ultimately the fuel for that progress on that particular path is faith only. So if that faith is not there in him, then he may not reap that benefit that fast.
Yeah. Okay, but again, he is emphasizing on that to establish Varnashram. And one side, you yourself said that you wanted first class brahmanas.
Yeah.
And they will lead the society.
Yeah.
So that is also an aspect of Varnashram.
Brahmanas in the sense devotees, he mentioned.
Yeah. Devotees, obviously. Yeah. But chanting, when it comes to chanting, what chanting? What Krishna's name?
Correct.
So that is there, but still, Varnashrama, and so much discussion is going on Varnashrama, right?
Correct.
We have to establish Varnashrama.
Yeah.
Like, in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, this is a Varnashrama project.
Mm.
You know, like, different versions, and you hear Bhakti Raghava Swami Maharaj. Yeah. Varnashrama is farm community.
Mm. That Prabhupada emphasized.
Yeah, farm community is the only real problem. There is no city life in that. You know, you live in a farm. So I just wondered how, because when
I mean, when certain things there is clarity. So my understanding is, wherever in whatever aspect clarity is there, we take it and move on. So in my understanding, Prabhupada may not have necessarily taken steps to practically implement certain things, but certainly in his books he has given, because acharyas are far-sighted. They are not short-sighted.
Yeah.
So they will not be just, hey, no, I have just, I don't have much time. And I have not written it in my books also. So they, Prabhupada has told for the next 10,000 years, my books are the law books. So which means, at least it must be in his books. So if at all we have to establish something, it must be based on his teachings.
So our project is also a Varnashram project. This
whether it is Varnashram or whatever,
yeah,
but it is a devotional project. We unnecessarily keep making a differentiation, artificial differentiation we keep introducing, which is not at all necessary. So, whatever brings someone closer to Krishna, that we accept. So therefore, what is their understanding of this is a Varnashram project, this is not a Varnashram project, means on what basis? So ultimately then we get stuck up in the secondary thoughts rather than thinking how we can collectively bring everyone closer to Krishna. Now we are thinking about different lines, whether it is Varnashram or whether this is not Varnashram. Prabhupada himself established so many city temples. Practically all the temples that Prabhupada established are city temples only. So, where there is clarity we can focus, and where it is vague, we are spending practically all the time in the smoky zone where there is not much clarity. And in doing that, we are losing valuable time that we could spend in those activities where Prabhupada has given perfect clarity. So we are giving up those activities and spending all our time in the zone where it is smoky when there is no clarity. So, at the end of the day, people don't have time to complete the 16 rounds. And, we are all day engaged in so many other things. But Prabhupada has given certain very things very clearly. At least those things, after practicing those things perfectly, then we can figure out the smoky zone. But if we spend all our time in the smoky zone only, and giving up our those activities where there is clarity, then there is a problem.
Okay,
we'll just at least 2-3 slides we'll cover, and otherwise, discussion we are always we will definitely have, but then at least if 2-3 slides at least we complete, then people will have some satisfaction of something is moving forward. I'm just telling. And a natural corollary of Krishna's instructions on faith is that everyone has it. People may have faith in different things in different ways, but because everyone is either under the modes of nature or transcendental to them, everyone possesses some type of faith, even those who deny that they don't do. I don't have faith in anything. If you read Maharaj's Journey Home, where this episode comes, anyone remembers? When Maharaj was in that, in Delhi in that yoga conference. So he comes to, in one of the halls, Krishnamurti, Jiju Krishnamurti. Jiju, Jitu. J. Krishnamurti. So he is giving a talk and he says that you should reject everything that all those people who say that you have to believe something based on faith or something like that. You remember this episode in the, he is attending different talks with that Buddhist monk. And then Maharaj asked this Buddhist monk, what do you think? He is just attacking your very foundation. He is telling you that, you know, you should reject all that teaching, who is telling you what to do based on faith. He said, I will think about it. And next day that Buddhist monk came and told Maharaj, yes, I thought about it and I agree his philosophy, he says. He says, I agree his philosophy. He is asking me to do something, so I reject his teaching. He said, he is asking me to reject all the teachings which are asking you to do something. So in doing that, he is actually asking me to do something. So I reject his philosophy, he says. So people may have faith in different things in different ways, but because everyone is either under the modes of nature or transcendental to them, everyone possesses some type of faith, even those who deny that they do. Empiricists may argue that religion is defective because it is based on faith. Scientific people may say that, oh, it is based on faith. Srila Prabhupada's answer, as already mentioned, is that every action is based on the contemplation of a plan which forms a seed or bija. Because no plan is carried out without confidence in its success, every activity is based on faith. The fact that someone is conducting an experiment, if you actually see in the scientific field, most of the experiments are failed experiments only. And then slowly out of them some experiments are successful, and those are the ones which get into the textbooks and journals. But rest all are like failed experiments. Those who have been in the scientific area, you know. Most are failed experiments. If you actually see, someone would have spent 5 years pursuing his doctorate. But if you see the amount of experimental details that he presented in his thesis, to perform those experiments, it would have taken hardly a few months. So you may say that, are 5 saal? But to get those proper experiments, so many failed experiments are performed, actually.
Repeated.
Look for repetition. So, because no plan is carried out without confidence in its success, every activity is based on faith. Thus, all living entities have some kind of faith. As Krishna explains, the type of faith each person has is either in goodness, passion or ignorance, depending on the dominant mode they have acquired from material nature. So, Satviki Shraddha, Rajasik Shraddha or Tamasik Shraddha. Although the living entities and their faith are by nature transcendental, this is water means pure water. But when it gets contaminated, you know, based on the contamination, it becomes, you know, either Coca-Cola or Pepsi or Mirinda or whatever. When the jivas turn, although the living entities and their faith are by nature transcendental, when the jivas turn away from Krishna and enter the material world, they contact the modes whose influence is all pervasive and all powerful. So as long as the living entity is Krishnonmukh, there are no different shades of faith. There is only one faith, that is transcendental faith. But the moment he chooses to become Krishna Bahirmukh, then Krishna says, okay, here is the material nature, and from within the material nature there is lot of varieties. What would you like to choose? So based on what he chooses, accordingly his faith gets contaminated by that choice. Whatever they see, hear or conceive in their minds is constituted of the modes of nature. In this way, the living entities are conditioned by contact with matter, and forced into a quagmire of material actions and reactions governed by the laws of material nature. Krishna says that those whose faith is in goodness worship the demigods, those whose faith is in passion worship the demons, and those whose faith is in ignorance worship ghosts and spirit. This comes in 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says that where does he say that they worship the devatas? What is that verse? Yajante sattvika devan yaksharaksham sirajasan pretan bhutaganan chanye yajante tamasajana, he says. But of course this needs to be understood. Maybe next time when we come together, because Kapila Dev also talks about Shraddha getting affected by the three modes. So there he is talking about Sattvika Bhakti, Rajasa Bhakti and Tamasa Bhakti. Where there is influence of Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, but still the person is worshipping Vishnu only. So there is no power supply also. So even if I write in the board, it will not be clear, and it's almost time also. So we will take this discussion next time we meet. However, because all material forms are combinations of the three modes of nature, it is most correct to say that the jivas are predominantly rather than exclusively under a particular mode. No one is in pure goodness or pure passion or pure ignorance as long as they are conditioned. And now he brings same Kapila Dev's teachings. Lord Kapila describes how the modes of nature touch even the faith of the Supreme Lord's devotees. Bhakti yogo bhavido margair bhavini bhavyate. Swabhava guna margena pumsam bhavo vibhidyate. He says, O noble lady, there are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor. Kapila Dev's teachings on devotional service elaborate on the varieties of faith in Krishna. So what this is, how this is different from the worship of the demigods, where exactly is the mode affecting here. So this we will discuss not tomorrow, because tomorrow is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we'll have fasting till noon, and 12 o'clock we'll have Pushpanjali and Guru Puja, glorifying Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and after that we will have Mahaprasadam.
The temple.
Temple all we will celebrate.
Pushpanjali.
So therefore, we will not have time to have our afternoon discussion. So next we will meet is day after tomorrow. Wednesday we will meet. Wednesday, Thursday, only 2 days, and after that I am again traveling for almost 10 days. So at least 2 days we will try to complete this chapter. Just 10 more slides remaining. So we will complete this chapter.
Eligibility of devotion.
How the modes influence on eligibility of devotion. So this we will discuss on Wednesday and Thursday. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj ki.
29 ho gaya.
29 ho gaya na.